All right, it's good to be here tonight. It's always good to be back in North Mississippi. I feel like a real Southern boy when I come up here. You folks are not too far from the Mason-Dixon line, I reckon. I don't know, but it is a joy to be here. Thank you for being here. I hope you'll invite and encourage somebody to be back with us tomorrow night. And we look forward to these several days with you. A real blessing always to come up here. And Brother Ronnie, he likes to drive cars through water. He likes to drive cars in water. One time he parked a car about 3 or 4 foot above the water line. That was a Pontiac, if I remember.
Yes, sir.
A red Pontiac. And he drove that car right on up into his double-wide trailer. And all we saw was the rear end, Brother Ernest, of the car sticking out. Of course, he had help from 20 feet of water coming off that Gulf of Mexico. Excuse me, Gulf of America. I'm sorry, Brother Garner. I tell you, we love Brother Ronnie. And it was a privilege, son, to recommend you to your first church. It really was. Recommended another young man, and my wife liked to shot me when Katrina, that was it, is that the one? And it came, we had so many of them down on the Gulf Coast where I'm from, and but she liked to shot me. I was headed to Brother Fred Morris's to a conference up there, and I know why I went up there. I had no idea what was, well, I knew the storm was coming. I left her and Miss Knight there at my father-in-law and mother-in-law's there in Hattiesburg. And then went on up to Brother Fred's there. We took up $3,000, I think it was. And we split it between you and Brother Wright. And that was just God. You know, the Lord knows what he's doing. And he's let me in on so many adventures, Brother Ernest. He really has. I've got two more adventures that I want before I check out of here. I've asked him. I'll be 79 next month. I've asked him to let me live to 85. Now, I may preach the last 2 or 3 years. I may have to do it out of a wheelchair, but I do want to go on if he'll let me till I'm 85 years of age. Now, two things I want to do. I want to make one more trip back to France where my baby daughter and 3 of my 8 grandchildren live. I want to make one trip back over there and preach in several of those churches that we were involved and worked in while we were there in France and Belgium. And may get over to England, be with Brother Tooley. And we just see how the Lord works. And then I want to go, more so than I even want to go back to France. I want to make a trip where we just sent somewhere between 20 and 30,000 Bibles to in Africa, French-speaking Africa, Togo. I ran into a retired pastor a few years ago up here at Shelbyville, Tennessee, where they have the Bible printing ministry up there also. Brother Lamond, and we met this dear brother, and he was really interested in the French Bible, so we got got with him. I was able to get the copyright. A widow of a missionary up in South Carolina, she gave us permission. We reprinted those Bibles. I wish I'd have brought it with you. It's got a colorful African taste to the cover of it, and it's the nearest Bible that we've been able to find to through the years, 40 plus now, that we've been able to find to our King James, and we got those Bibles in there. National pastor sent his kids over here to go to school, and I want to go there. I want to preach in the cities. That's where Paul always went to first, to the big metropolitan city. I do, but I like to go and preach in the bush too. Now, a lot of times in the bush, over any place in that part of Africa, there's a lot of people killed, a lot of people shot, and all. I don't know if they'll bury my body over there, and my wife would be happy. But I would like to go. If the Lord let me make that trip, I've already had several people tell me that when you're ready to go, Brother Gibson, we'll help you. 2 or 3 churches have already said they'd help us, so I'm not worried about that. But you know, when I first got saved back in August of 1963, 62 years ago, when I got born again, My pastor used to sing. He was from Meridian, Mississippi, south of here. He used to sing that song, Sister Willis, sing, you still remember that old song, Follow Me, I Travel Down a Lonely Road, and no one seemed to care. The burden on my weary back had bowed me to despair. I oft complained to Jesus how folks were treating me. Then I heard him say so tenderly, if just a cup of water I place within your hand, then just a cup of water is all that I demand. Be faithful, weary pilgrim, the morning I can see. Just lift your cross and follow, follow me. I didn't even know I remembered those words. And then the second stanza, which I could not sing, but I'm willing to live it if God will give me that grace, Brother Ernest, because it's all of grace anyway, isn't it? He said, if I should die upon a foreign field someday, would be no more than love repay. And I believe that. And my pastor would sing that all my senior year, Brother Ernest, after I had saved. I'd sit right there about the second, third pew like you and Sister Winner, and I would just weep. God was dealing with my heart, burdening my soul for missions and to reach people for Christ. And I've started writing a book. I don't know if I'll ever get to finish it. Maybe somebody will dig it up and do that. But turn with me to the greatest missionary text in your Bible tonight, John chapter 3 and verse 16. Now, brother could give it to us in Spanish, I'm sure, or Mextex or something. I don't know what, you know. For cardio, a ton aimé le monde, qu'il a donné son fils unique, afin que quiconque croit en lui ne périsse point, mais qu'il ait la vie éternelle. Jean 3 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I gave it to you in French first, and then I gave it to you in English. That was the interpretation of the French, amen, the closest I could get to it anyway. But John chapter 3, verse 16, I just quoted, I want to, and I'm watching time, okay? I'm watching that. I'm always conscious of that. But I'm going to read it one more time here in English, and while you read along with me, then I'm going to make a brief prayer and we'll see what God will give us. I've written down about seven thoughts or seven, that's right, the best way to say it, thoughts from this verse. And I like freshness. I do preach every now and then a message maybe that I hadn't preached, like a brother said earlier, in a long time. But do it. But Brother Terry Oswalt was with us for 4 days, Sunday through Wednesday, and he got all his notes at home. So he was digging back. I looked at some of that paper, it looked like it's 90 years old. I'm telling you, it's about to fall apart. Boy, I tell you what, he had some home runs. Having a lot of health issues. I met him right here in this church back in March of 1978. Came up here, Brother Herschel Bragg brought me. I never would have known you folks was on the map had not Brother Bragg. I tell you, he was a cutter, wasn't he? Fastest preacher I ever heard in my life. I mean, buddy, if you didn't listen fast, he'd lose you. But I loved Herschel. Of course, that's Brother Sutton and Brother Doug Jones, all these dear men of God, and Brother Johnny and all. Or I may have met him over at Brother Terry, met y'all over at Brother Terry's, I think. But I tell you what, grew to love this part of my state. Born right here in Mississippi. Want to be dead one day and Mississippi dead, you know, all that stuff. Amen. But let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us. Give us what we need now from this good verse of Scripture. And we love you and we praise you. We thank you, Lord, for this great text. God is just as real in my heart and life now after 62 years as it was, Lord, when I first got saved back in 63 and memorized it. And Lord, it's been so precious to me. Lord, I don't believe you'll find a greater text in your blessed word, your holy word, God, than this here concerning missions. And dear Lord, I pray you speak to our hearts tonight. Encourage us, Lord. Help us to be more involved. than we've ever been before. And Lord, I pray, God, that you'd use us all for your glory. And Lord, I don't think it's selfish, knowing what Jesus did for us on that cross and his glorious resurrection, to pray, Lord, that you'd use us up. Yes. Use us up for your glory, praise, and honor. And we'll thank you, Father, for it. In Jesus' sweet name, amen and amen. Give you about 7 thoughts very, very quickly from these verses. The Bible says here, for God, I wrote down in the margin of my Bible, I have a wide margin Bible here. I wrote down here the person of love. The person of love. Who is the person of love? And really, where does any real, true, genuine love originate? Where do you get love from? You get it out of a soap opera? You get it out of a lust box somewhere? Or is real genuine heart love, does it begin? Is it full? Is it there all the way in God, our Creator? You want to know a story of love? Just read the first 3 chapters in your Bible. Genesis there, when God created Adam and Eve there in the garden. He loved them. The Bible said he walked with them, right? And he talked with them. But something comes in, that story. There's someone really that comes into that story. And that person, he breaks that love affair up between God and man. And we know that to be Satan. And he lies to Adam. He lies to Eve. And sin takes place. And when sin hath conceived, it does what? It brings forth death. God told them in that day that they ate of that fruit, not 300 years later, but in that day they died. You say, well, preacher, I thought they lived to be about 1,000 years of age. They did in physical age. I think it was, 900 something years? Close to 1,000. But they died spiritually that day. I mean, brother, fellowship, friendship, you name it, it was all cut off for them that very day. And you know what happened? They put the whole human race out of the love scene. But God wasn't about to be outdone, Brother Dennis, Brother Ernest. He was not about to be outdone. Hey, God, hey, he had a story. We'll get into that just as we go on down here a little bit more. But I see here the person of love for God. And then not only that, but I see the plan of God's love here. You say, preacher, what do you mean by that? Well, the Bible says that God loved. No. The Bible says that. A lot of times I hear preachers preach, and they're not careful to slow down enough to read every word. Have you ever noticed that? I mean, some of us preachers like myself, we get older, and sometimes we'll read a verse and we'll leave 3 words out of it. And I said, we need to slow down and read. And when we do slow down in this verse, we'll find an adverb. Now, they taught me back in school that an adverb just gave power to a verb. An adverb is just being pushing a verb that's there. Hey, you know what a verb is? A verb is an action word. Not that God just so loved, huh? In his plan of love for you and me. But the Bible says he so loved. Put it in 5th gear, Brother Ernest. I mean, rev it up. They're having cruising on the coast this weekend. My brother-in-law, he come down from Anniston, Alabama, and he brought people with him and all. They were going to Gulfport today. And they got a car show down there. I reckon he's with you, outdoor car show. Huh? And they were going. Only thing I'd like to go down there and see if I could find my wife's old 68 Chevrolet Malibu Super Sport. All that stuff, man. I'd like to. Hey, I've only seen one other car. You know where I saw that car? We were on a mission trip. We went out to Cheney, Washington. I had 3 or 4 guys that were interested. I had the sweet privilege of teaching for Brother Kevin Brohill there in their school. We were pastoring in North Carolina a number of years ago. Kevin's mother graduated high school with Larry Winkler over in Lenoir. But Brother Kevin was my pastor, and it was such a blessing to be able to be involved. And about to, what was my rabbit? Huh? Yeah. And there was, so we went out to Cheney, Washington. We're going to fly into Spokane, and we get down, sit down in Cheney, and we're out knocking doors. I want to see if them boys really, I was teaching them every day in Bible school, but I wanted to see if God really had a touch on them. Huh? And we had an old World War II Marine that was with us. Boy, we had a great time. I think we spent maybe a week, 10 days, something like that out there. And I was going there, and I came up to a door and knocked on the door, and two little kids. Never will forget this. Cheney was right outside of Spokane. And them two little kids come there. They said, "Your mama home, daddy home?" But I spotted that Chevrolet. I mean, boy, it was burgundy. White vinyl top, but that was a cool machine. And I spotted it. I wanted to buy that car and ship it back to, here to Mississippi. And all. But the birds wasn't there, so I didn't get to make a deal on the car. But I asked those kids how God works things out. I asked those little kids, "What y'all know about Jesus?" They said, "Who is he?" Right here in America. When I took those guys out there to see if God was in it, Brother Ernest, for them to be involved in mission work, plant churches right here in the United States, found out before we went out there that that's, if not the least church state in the United States, it's right next to it. Hey, 7% of the population of the state of Washington at that time, which was somewhere around 6 to 7 million, about double Mississippi, 7% of those people out there went to church somewhere. And there's one boy still out there. I love him. He's sort of raised like me, not much of a family behind him and all, but he got saved, I think, under Brother Bobby Robinson, someone, one of them good North Carolina preachers years ago. And that boy's been out there for somewhere between Tim Lewis, was that his name? No, it wasn't Tim Lewis. It was Tim Walls. He'd been out there, quarter land somewhere out that way, probably for somewhere between 20-30 years now, one of the finest young missionaries I ever made. Hey, that Chevrolet hadn't have been there in that yard for me to get an interest and walk over and knock on that door and find those kids. Hey, can you imagine? I mean, 7 or 8 year old American, I mean, blue blooded, full blooded, and never heard about Jesus. What about it? What about your neighbor? My mama was a lost Jehovah Witness. And she told me that Buster Day, who was a deacon of Griffin Street Baptist Church there in Morris Point, she said Buster never told her one time about Jesus. Next door neighbor, and never talked to that man about his soul. Who have you talked to lately? Hey, yesterday, I'm looking at this flooring here. I love it. We're building a little missionary cabin and guest house on our place, cut the wood there, and found God just run us in a place called Eucutta. I'm glad that he cut it, not me, but we cut all that wood, Eucutta. Ain't that a name? That must be an Indian or somebody. Brother Garcia, that wouldn't be no Spanish name, would it? And but anyway, we got that wood cut up and dried and everything. We're building that little mission house, and we're getting down to close to the end. And I had three lost men on my porch yesterday, unsaved men from my community there. And they were asking, wanting to know what was going on and what have you. And one of them's son was, he's the time he used to work for Junior Bragg, Brother Herschel's son, for about 15 years. And he's got somebody he really thinks about. And I went to see him yesterday in the hospital. Somebody got fungus is all in his lungs. And it's been real close to eternity. Real, real close in the last few weeks. I got to meet his dear mama from over around Waynesboro and sister. I said, "Y'all mind if I pray for you, son?" But yesterday when those three men were there, I said, "Fellas, I know y'all all believe in prayer. You may not know who to pray to. You witness any way you want to. If you'll be a missionary, you said, Brother Ronnie, a while ago, we're all missionaries at home. That's the key. If I don't find somebody witnessing here, if I don't see anybody here with burden or passion for souls, hey, if you don't give a flip here, Mississippi language, excuse me, don't give a flip of people here in Mississippi or wherever you come from, hey, I wouldn't give you a nickel. I wouldn't want to give you a nickel to go somewhere else and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. You got to care where you're at. You got to have a burden where you're at. You got to have concern where you're at. You got to show kindness where you're at. You got to smile. I like what you said about that preacher. Do I know Steve Parrish? Have I met him? How old is he? How old is he, Brother Ronnie? Oh, he's that old. I maybe know him. I don't. That ain't the one that used to carry a gun with him all the time, was it? Okay, all right. Hey, I hear his name all over, but I, sir? Well, I could go with him on that because I am one too. All right. Hey, here's the greatest missionary text in the Bible. Hey, you see the person of love? Hey, you see the plan of love? I want to give you something very quick, and then I'm going to move as fast as I can. Run with me, if you would, in your Bible over to the book of 1 Peter. Huh? What's that plan of so loved? How is that developed? What do we find here that Peter knew about that the Holy Ghost of God gave him to write down for you and for me? 1 Peter chapter 1. I hope I can get 2 Peter chapter 1, if you would. Verse 17. And if you call on the Father, huh? And now, the Father is he's the person of love, isn't he? And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily, watch this now, this is where I really like it, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. What are we talking about? We're talking about here the plan of love. I don't know of any clearer example of it than the fact that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, our great triune God, would get together in the eternal councils or before anything was, and knowing that man was going to sin, knowing that man was going to rebel, knowing that man was going to throw God out of his thought, God never did that for anybody. This bunch around here, running around here, God's got a little select, elect few. Show it to me in your King James Bible. God so loved the world, didn't he, Brother Aaron? I'm glad. Hey, Brother, if he'd have been a selector and an elected, he'd probably have left me out. I'm telling you. But they love Jesus. Now, they love to get intellectual and be smarter than you are and treat you like a dummy. Excuse me. I used to get in some of them meetings. I like to bust into it, buddy. My mama was a fighter. If she couldn't whip you her fist, she whipped you her teeth. I guarantee you. I couldn't even bring my best friends to the house without her permission. If I did, buddy, she'd cuss them out and put them on the road. You say, well, really? You're proud of that? No. But I am glad she had some spunk or skunk or whatever it was, Brother. And I'm glad when I got saved, God didn't take all that away. Now, he took the bad mouthing away. And he took a lot of other things away, Brother Ronnie. But Mama had some gall. We used to call it gall. Y'all use that word up here in North Mississippi? Man, he's got a bunch of gall in him. Whatever it is, that might be akin to your gallbladder. I don't know. Kim, I don't. In the world, hey, look at it. Here's the plan of love. Just read it. And then here's, for God so loved what? The world. That's a people of love. Huh? The world. I ain't talking to you about the cosmos, the ball of what we live on. No, we're talking about the people in it. Those that didn't love him. Those that left him out. Those my wife and I were talking earlier about just were some, just plumb indifferent to the fact that he existed and that he loved them in spite of them, in spite of their sins. Hey, he loved them right on. Have you ever just sit down and say, Lord, I love you because you first loved me. I love you, Jesus, because you first loved me. Hey, old Brother Paul Ragland used to come to Camp Zion, to Central Baptist Church, first week in January from Myrtle. He worked with right-hand man. You were talking about this brother being your right-hand man. Well, Brother Ragland was Brother Percy Ray's right-hand man. He'd come to our church there, and this was what he would say. Every time he stood up to preach, he'd look out there at everybody and just slowly just look And then he'd smile and he'd say, if you haven't told Jesus you love him today, why don't you tell him now? Hey, that slips up on me every now and then. Brother Grundy, I get up, I get to running and all, and I don't take the time to run right. And I'm not running right if I'm not telling him how much I love him. Why? Because he first loved me. Amen? And that's it. I mean, that thing's reciprocal. Hey, I went off to college. When I went off to Clark College in Newton, Mississippi, there at the end of August 1964, I'd only been saved a year at that time. Everybody had a Bible verse that they quoted. Many times it was John 3:16. I mean, people learned that when they ain't even saved. And but you know, God gave me a precious verse over in Psalm 27 and verse 10. David said, I don't think he ever experienced what he said, but he knew the truth in his heart. So maybe God didn't make him put it in his feet. But in my feet, when I got saved, I learned this verse, and I learned it in my mind and my heart too. But Psalm 27, verse 10, when my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. I don't know, you might have been raised by the greatest Christian family, greatest Christian parents in all the world. My wife was. Well, I thank God for that deacon, church treasurer for right at 40 years, man. E.G. Brown, to me, he used to come up here to all these National Guard armors here in Belmont. All he used to tell me places. He knew Christian people that worked in for the National Guard. He worked at Camp Shelby for over 30 years, Dad did. But, love it, but I got into that family. I wouldn't believe they let me in, Sister Willistine. Man alive. I found something in that Christian family that I never saw in anybody's. My people were just a bunch of beer drinking, you know, hard nosed, working people, and they had nothing for God. I had one aunt that she witnessed to me, got me in that revival meeting I got saved in, there in August of '63. I preached her funeral when she was, I think she was 88 or 90, something like that. I'll never forget, I walk in that little nursing home. It's one of these housing where they can't keep more than four or five to be in state law. It's a house that just turned into that kind of deal. And I walked in there, and she revived. I spoke her name. She said, hey. And she called me by my nickname, which I ain't going to tell you. And please don't beg my wife. And she raised her hand, called my nickname. Went back, gone. God, just, man, amazing. I preached her funeral just a few days, 5 days from the time my mother died, my aunt. My mother never told me one time about Jesus, but my Aunt May Scruggs wouldn't give up on me. Buddy, for a solid year, my junior year in high school, every time I'd go to cut her grass or pick out the weeds out of her flower bed or rake leaves or whatever, she'd nail me. Tell me about Jesus. Hey, have you talked to anybody about him in the last few days? Have you planted any seed for eternity that you may never even get to cultivate down here because you're just the planter? God sent a water boy after you, and then he gives the increase. What about that? Hey, I like that old song. It was Brother Knight, and this Knight's favorite. If that isn't love, then heaven's a myth. Well, I'll tell you, that's what it's all about, folks. You get so full of the love of Jesus, it's running out your ears and running out every other part of your body. Some of it is going to rub off. It's going to get to somebody. I believe that with all my soul. Let me move very quickly. I'm staying too much time on some of these points. People of love, that's the world. That's an unsaved world. Then the Bible says that he gave his only begotten son. Somebody said that in the New King James Version that so many Baptist churches, sad to say, some independents have started using. They said that word begotten has been taken out. You know what that word begotten means? That means one of a kind. He is, huh? Unique is the French word they use for it. You don't find nobody like him. He's the only one like that. And I wrote down here, that's the price of love. The fact that he would do what? That he would give his only begotten Son. What a price. He would say, no man taketh my life from me, but I lay it down myself. I heard y'all singing, some of the ladies or somebody, his lifeblood. I like that. His lifeblood for even me. Quickly, and I'm drawing it to a close. I'll get there before you do. Okay. That he gave his only begotten Son. That's the price of love. I'll just write down the greatest price. Three more things, Brother Ronnie. Whosoever, he says in this verse. That's the greatest potential, isn't it? Huh? Whosoever. I mean, everybody's got potential to be saved. Whosoever, that covers everybody. That don't cover just the elect, select bunch of non-wit, non-skull people. I mean, that ain't, no. He said here. Whosoever. Aren't you glad that he put your name in that number? What if you hadn't been in that whosoever? You'd been in hell probably. Like, well, my best friend drowned the first year we were in France in 1980. Mama wrote me a letter, said George Carroll. They found his body on a mud lump right off the coast there, right off the beaches of Pascagoula where we had grain elevators. And he brought them big trucks like you drive and all that stuff and then train cars and put all that to wheat and corn and everything up, ship it to Russia. Now they throw it back at us and steal. But anyway, we did all of that and everything. And I never will forget that. You know, how God worked and through all of that and everything to line me up with people and to get around folk, Brother Ronnie, that could tell me about Jesus and all. And I'm so grateful that I didn't have a Calvinist trying to witness to me, a baby sprinkler. I had somebody that loved Jesus that could not get over his love, didn't want to get over his love, didn't want to limit his love, didn't want to say it's just going to be for so-and-so. Hey, my aunt believed anybody could. That's the reason why she wouldn't give up on me. And the man that had planted the seed when I was 12 years old on a paper route at 5:36 o'clock in the morning, Felix Miller, he believed in whosoever. And he witnessed to me. And wondered what my aunt was. She was just the water lady. I didn't say water boy, did I? It's the water lady. Felix Miller planted the seed there. And then May Scruggs, she waters. And then the man of God preaching in that revival meeting preached on hell for three nights in a row. And I never will forget. It's clear today after 62 years. It's just as clear today as it was back then. Two more thoughts very quickly and I'm finished. Whosoever, that's the greatest potential, believeth in him. That's what it's all about, isn't it? You said, preacher, I believed in him before I ever got saved. I did too. I never doubted his existence, but I didn't know what belief was until the sweet Holy Spirit convicted me of sin, righteousness, judgment. I didn't want to go to hell for you or nobody else. And so I got on my face, cried out to him. You said, preacher, what did you cry out? Lord Jesus, come in. But the Bible tells me I did right, Brother Ernest, because the Bible says, but as many as received him. You can't receive him without calling on him. He's there knocking at your heart's door, just like he was mine. But you've got to be willing to open up. You don't have the strength and the power. When we were without strength in due time, what happened? Christ died for the ungodly. And I'm glad he did. I had to see myself ungodly, and I never would have done that without Holy Spirit conviction. You preach them boys in prison until God unlocks the doors of their heart, they're not going to get saved. You got to do that. When he does it, they will. Boy, they're putting them to death nowadays like never before, hadn't they? I mean, buddy, they're knocking them. I'm glad to hear a few of them repenting. I'm glad to hear a few of them are letting that grace of God do only what it can do. Bring them to repentance. Amen. You'll fry, boy, with that stuff in your veins or that bullet in your heart. But hey, thank God for salvation by the blood. I'm closing. Should not perish. That's the greatest peril. I'm not going to say much on that because I may preach Sunday morning on a missionary message from hell. I've been debating on that, praying about that. That may be, I don't know. I'm not saying yet, brother. That may be the message Sunday morning. I'm not sure. But I know he says, should not perish. I love that. Huh? That's the greatest peril, that a man, woman, boy, or girl would die without Jesus. And here's the last thought. But have everlasting life. That's the greatest promise. Have everlasting life. He ain't gonna make you. But when you wind up in hell because you took the peril route instead of the precious route of the shed blood of Christ, hey, be too late then. Or is there somebody here tonight? Hey, there used to be a lady here years ago. About every time I come up here, she wanted to get saved about 10 times. Y'all remember that lady? I mean, when she'd come to that altar, I don't know who she, I can't remember her name. She'd always come to that altar. She was so unsure. Hey, you live on your emotions like she did probably, and that's probably, well, you'll never have assurance either. But if you'll just take that simple word of God and put your name, if you're not saved, put your name where that whosoever is, I guarantee it'll work. It worked for me. Because the Lord was drawing me, except the Father which sent me draw them. They shall not come. But I do love a verse that he uses. That was my pastor's verse. He put it here in Mississippi, but I don't know how it is in Georgia. Here in Mississippi, we can personalize car tags, or used to could anyway. And Charles Williams put on that car tag, and he kept it, Brother Ernest. Yeah, he was out of a car for 30 years or better. He changed cars, he just updated us, whatever. But he put John 6:37. People would come up to him at red light and say, "Preacher, you'll preach it, I'll preach it." He said, "I say, you got some kind of looks like a Bible, bro. What does that say?" Boy, he liked it, man. Zip. That went to go down. Man, he talked to him to the red. I mean, people blowing behind him, trying to get him going down the road. And he'd be witnessing to him. Hey, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Right. Now my question to you tonight, have you come to him? If you've come to him, then you've discovered the truth of what I preached on in the last 30 minutes. I hope I ain't gone too long, have a preacher. Okay. So, if you've discovered that truth, won't you ask the Lord? Lord, would you witness through me? Witness to me first. Because I need that power. I need that courage. I need that strength. I need that boldness. Lord, would you give that to me so that I can talk to someone about you? That I can share that sweet forgiveness that you have given me, that I can share it with somebody else. Now you pray right and you believe that, you'll find that God will open more doors than you've ever seen before. He'll make you a missionary. He may want to take you over yonder somewhere like he did us for 17 years and then down amongst them Cajuns down there in Louisiana for all. This is amazing. 17 years down there, 17 years in France. So 34 years of our life we've been working with either directly French people or with their descendants, you know. And it's amazing. It's a trip. I'm enjoying it so much. I hope I get to live beyond 85. And keep on preaching. Amen. And keep on teaching. But most of all, telling the story that Jesus loves sinners. There's a little girl and there's a little boy. The little girl's about 7, 8 years of age. The little boy is probably 5 or 6. Hey, have y'all ever heard about Jesus? No. Who is he? Those ears, brother. Those little voices are going to ring in my heart. Them kids are grown now. And mama, nobody else out there in Washington State had ever told them about Jesus. You think folks need to, in Amory, deserve to hear about him? You ain't going nowhere else with the gospel until you give it out where you're at. If you're faithful to give it out here, God may say, "Hey, I can trust you right here. I may put you over there." Mama, aren't you glad we followed him? Then sweet, hadn't it? We've had our ups and downs. We've had our battles. We've had our troubles. We've had our trials. We've had our heartaches, heartbreaks. But, hey, He's still the same. And His love. I want to do a double backflip right now, but I'd kill myself if I did it. His love is always the same. Never, never changes. If you'll witness and be faithful and give to missions and love missionaries and love to give out the Word of God, one of these days you're going to see people on the other side that you probably maybe never even met here, but God used what you could do and He would do through you to do it. Hey, you did it for His glory, honor, and praise. Let's pray. Father, Brother Ronnie comes in just a moment and gives this invitation. I pray, sweet Holy Spirit, You'll just speak to every heart, every life that's here. Father, that could be somebody You're calling to preach. That could be somebody that You're calling to be a missionary. They don't know where yet, but Lord, I remember when I knelt down there in the old Westside Baptist Church many years ago as a young pastor. Lord, there in Escatawa, Mississippi, went up there and just went to that old-fashioned altar. I said, Lord, I don't know where, but Lord, make me willing to be made willing. Lord, the best way I know how, I gave You my will because it wasn't mine. Just like my body wasn't, because You said we glorify God in our body and our spirit, and that's our will. Our will's at in our spirit. Lord Jesus, we're grateful. If we see anything or see anyone about it, we hope to see on the other side of it because of what You've done, what You're doing. Lord, help us to all here tonight to let You work in us, to do of Your good will and pleasure. Then we'll have that smile Brother Ronnie was talking about. Then that's when we'll have the joy of the Lord, finding that to be our strength because of trusting in You. Oh Lord, in these days, God work an eternal work, God, in all of our hearts and lives. And we'll thank You and we'll praise You for all You do in Jesus' sweet name. Brother Ronnie.